Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle here on this Saturday, January 17th. Thanks for tuning in for Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Winsky Brothers. If you miss any part of today's show or you want to listen to past episodes of Inside the Huddle, you can do that by going to Spotify, find us Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. You can find us online at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the local sports tab and click on Inside the Huddle. Or you can find us on HoosierLandTV.com, streaming live right now on HoosierLand TV, and all of our past episodes archived on there as well. So if you want to see Kyle and I here in studio, don't know why you would want to watch two guys like us to talk some local sports, but we want to get to our first guest of the day. We had two good games last night on Hoosierland TV, and the nightcap was a boys basketball thriller where Carson Schuler for Carroll hit a go-ahead three-pointer with 5 seconds remaining, and Carroll was able to get the victory 42-40. We're joined now by Carroll boys basketball coach Adam Tussinger. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. Well as well, and I'm sure you were able to sleep a little bit better knowing you guys got the win last night after some good halftime adjustments. It was a 17-14 game at halftime, and we remarked after the game, it was fun for us to watch, seeing everything, but maybe for some people it wasn't as fun to watch that first half, but then some adjustments were made, and you guys were able to come out with a victory.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement pretty much wholeheartedly, right? Like, we knew going into the game, just, again, with Coach Peckinpah and his staff system that they have over there, that they're an incredibly challenging team to score on defensively. Like, people ask us this week, I said, well, it's been one historically that we've struggled to score with every year. So I said, there's a good chance we might score in the 20s or 30s. And that was right at halftime. I mean, that's right where we were at, right? Like, thankfully, we were doing enough defensively to keep us in the game. And then the second half, I thought we did a little bit better job of moving the basketball, moving people, not being stationary and stagnant and content to just try to pass the ball around the perimeter. Because, again, with how well they rotate, you're not going to find an open look just by passing the ball once or twice or making a pass and then holding the ball for 2 or 3 seconds, because they rotate really well anyway. So just giving them that extra time is basically a recipe for a very low-scoring game, which is what we had through the first half. So, but really kind of towards maybe about the midway point of the third quarter, into the third quarter, and then through the fourth, I thought we did a little bit better job of trying to do some of the stuff we worked on throughout the week to give us a better look as a team.
There was two adjustments that I saw in that second half that I thought opened up that defense a little bit. One of them was getting Aiden Duff, your point guard, moving around a little bit more. In the first half, he was almost always at the top of key, running the offense, passing back and forth. But for him, a guy that likes to get downhill and drive a little bit, there's not really a lot of lanes starting from out front of the top of the key. So he was moving around. He was on the wing sometimes, or he was cutting inside. And I thought he was a lot more active in the second half to really open up the defense.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. Something that we actually talked to him about, not just last night. I mean, specifically at halftime, I kind of looked at him and said that he just needs to be more aggressive and honestly just kind of stop hanging out around the top of the key. And I think a huge part of it just goes into kind of the maturation process for Aiden, but also for our team so far this year, right? Like, yes, we brought a couple older upperclassmen back who have some varsity experience, but we're have thrown in some guys that couple freshmen, couple juniors who haven't really had any experience at the varsity level. And so I think part of that is just learning to trust your teammates and know that, you know, as a coaching staff, we put those guys out there for a reason because we believe in the strength that they have. And so for Aiden to kind of relinquish that a little bit, because again, I have all the faith and confidence in him in the world at whatever spot he's in on the court that he's going to do great things. But like you said, I think it just helps to be able to not stand in one spot for him, because then the defense has to always know where he's at. Because if they don't and he flashes into a spot, whether in the middle, on the baseline, and on the perimeter, and they just happen to not rotate well, or maybe when they're caught in a rotation and we get that quick ball movement, you put him in an advantageous spot. where he can get downhill and can get to the basket, typically good things happen, whether that's scoring, getting to the free throw line. He had a couple last night where he got in there, one late to Mason where he drove in and had a pass to Mason under the basket. Mason hit a pretty tough layup. So, again, that was kind of the thought process of all this, and it's just been this culmination of the past kind of couple months of the season and trying to get him to trust those guys more. And I think last night kind of showed that a lot of those younger guys are starting to step up and earn that trust from him and some of our upperclassmen.
You guys have played a lot of really close, really tough games this season. And even last week against Delphi, you're in a similar situation where it's tied late and Delphi is able to get the go-ahead bucket late and ultimately win that game. How much have you guys been able to just learn from all of these close matchups and take those into your next games that you're able to kind of change and tinker with stuff and be able to come out on top?
Yep, that's part of it too. You guys are asking all the right questions, right? stuff we've been thinking about and talking about as a coaching staff for the last few months. So I think the answer to this question really started back kind of beginning of December, because we knew with where our schedule was at, we have a lot of really talented opponents in our first half of our season. And again, that's not to say that the second half isn't just as difficult, but again, to throw those young guys, those inexperienced guys into kind of the fire early, right? And try and see what we've got and how we can help them grow. So part of it as a coach, like I knew throughout this process that I had to do a better job and Bill needed to do a better job of preparing them in practice for situations like that. Because there's a couple games that you mentioned, the Delphi game. We played Southwood in December, and it was basically very reminiscent of the Delphi game. I think we were up 8 going into the fourth quarter. And ended up losing that game by 3. And I thought specifically in both those games, we had that your team sometimes talk about where we played not to lose. It was almost like we were trying to run the clock out and just hope that we held on. And typically, the majority of the time when you do that, you kind of take whatever momentum you had at that point in time and it goes away and it goes to the other team. And players just naturally start getting a little more tense, a little more tight as the game gets a little bit closer. So that was the message basically the entire fourth quarter last night, was that you can't, like, you have to continue, you have to play to win the game, right? Doesn't mean it's going to turn out well. There's a chance you miss shots. There's a chance they make plays defensively and you get out and score or whatever the case might be. But we had to continue to be the aggressor. And I think they did that throughout the majority of the fourth quarter, which is why it gave us a chance to win the game at the end.
Talking to Carroll boys basketball coach Adam Tessinger on this lovely sunny morning after a big-time win. Coach, one thing that we were talking about on the broadcast, and I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on, was Carson Hale. He goes to the bench with 4 fouls, and then he comes back into the game in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to go. And granted, he didn't lead the stat sheet as far as points were concerned, but he had the big-time assist when it counted. And one thing that Sam and I really were pretty impressed with is just his ability to dribble, drive, and penetrate different areas of the zone, and he was able to get some of the Gophers to foul out. So kind of talk about his contributions in the last 4 minutes, especially after dealing with foul trouble pretty much the entire game.
It's kudos to him, right? I mean, you talk about a guy that I think, I don't know exactly how many minutes he typically plays, but you're talking close to 28, 30 minutes a game at times. And just because the way the foul situation played out in the first 3 quarters, like, he really hadn't played a lot. He was not able to get into a rhythm offensively to get many looks at the basket. And so for him to go in that last 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter and play pretty solid defense, with those 4 fouls, and like you can see the impact that he has for our team when he's out there and playing to the best of his abilities, taking care of the basketball, has the ability to, you know, kind of create that contact, and when he stays balanced and under control, either get to the basket, finish around the rim, or draw a lot of fouls. Him and Aiden, I think, are real close to being tied as far as free throws made and attempted this season. So having both of them on the court at the same time is huge. But yeah, that last probably about minute, I mean, I went into when we the ball for 50 seconds or close to it because of the pressure that Clinton Prairie applies defensively. But between Aiden Carson and Carson Schuler, they did a really good job taking care of the basketball, moving and then getting us into a situation there about 10 seconds left when we started to get into our action. Where Carson, he read the defense. He read it perfectly. He drove. Colby set a great screen, but stuff like that gets overlooked. But he was on the block and set a screen on whatever defender was down there and opened Schuler up in the corner. And Carson, again, that maturation process for Aiden, same thing for Carson as a senior. Like, he trusted in that moment. The stuff we've talked about all week where Carson Schuler was in a corner, wide open, and that was something we've been working on, is to trust him to make that play. So he made that pass, and obviously Schuler rewarded that trust in him with hitting that shot.
And if you haven't seen the shot, as I think it's going to be known, at least for this season and probably for, you know, a couple of team reunions, definitely check it out on HoosierLandTV.com, as it was. We've been very lucky with this basketball season, all those amazing moments. But there was one thing that really stuck out to me after the fabulous freshman hit the shot from the corner, is the student section ran onto the floor and they lifted him in the air. Now, I know Sam is a Notre Dame fan, but having a Rudy-like finish while we're in town, I mean, was that planned? Was that natural? And, you know, on behalf of Sam, thank you for that awesome moment, because that was great TV.
Yeah, that actually was, I didn't even know it had happened until somebody had mentioned too, because we had gone through the handshake line and all that, and coaches were headed back into the locker room. But I think that's cool. Obviously not playing, just the natural reaction of our student section to, you know, kind of congratulate a kid that, again, as a freshman, just to have the confidence and to step into a shot like that. And I mean, it's one of those things as a coach that you love to see, because it's one of, like, this whole season that I've been on him because I believe in his abilities. He has a lot of great things that he does, not just offensively, but defensively, but specifically you can kind of see hitting some outside shots. I thought he took care of the basketball really well yesterday. So it's just really cool to see that moment come kind of there at the end and him get the recognition that he deserves for the game that he had.
Talking with Carroll boys basketball coach Adam Tussinger, and one thing I don't want to get overlooked is the defense that was played by Aiden Duff.
Oh my gosh.
On the other end against Nick Curtin, a fantastic interior presence for Clinton Prairie. And he wanted to go to the post up a whole lot. And when he did, he was trying to use the power game against Aiden Duff. And, man, Aiden stood there like a brick wall, taking pound for pound, going with Nick Curtin. Talk about what you saw from Aiden last night on the defensive end.
From Aiden, truthfully, it's we're spoiled from an all-around perspective, but defensively as well. Because there is not a game that we have had the last really 3 years, even as a sophomore for the most part, but definitely the last 2 years, where we basically said, you know, this is the other player's best offensive, rather team's best offensive player, and Aiden, you're going to guard him, regardless of what or who that player looks like, how they play, their style, whatever the case might be. And last night with Curtin, I mean, you have a kid who is incredibly athletic, who gets to his spots very easily because of how quick he is, how high he can jump, how well he finishes around the rim. He's kind of expanded his game this year. He's hitting shots from outside. Like, one of arguably the most difficult guys to defend in our conference and in our area. And, I mean, I know Curtin still, I think he ended up with 16, 18. Like, he definitely scored his points, but and that's just kind of a credit to him and the player that he is. But Aiden at least made it difficult, I thought. And that's kind of what we ask of him. And I mean, that's what it's been every game, whether it's, you know, a post guy who we have, like we said, with Curtin, the kid from Southwood who's averaging about 20-some points a game. He's a 6'8 post guy. We put Aiden on him. And so he got in foul trouble in the fourth quarter, had held him to about 5 points. Guarding guards, I mean, last week it was McAtee, had a really good game, so I give him a lot of credit for that. Keely Hahn, all these conference matchups, right? Like, our conference is filled with a ton of kids who are I mean, incredibly talented offensively. And so just to have him kind of set the tone for us is huge. And I've liked kind of the overall defensive effort the last couple of games, especially compared to where we were at after our holiday tournament as a team. I think we've gotten a little bit better there, so I hope to continue to see that as we move forward.
Looking forward to the rest of the schedule, several conference matchups coming up, Tri-Central coming up, Clinton Central, Sheridan and Taylor still left on that conference slate. But now you guys sit 2-1 in the conference after a season that you guys probably look at and you're like, we're not having the success that we hoped for, but you still look at that conference record and you still have a chance to do some big things in conference play down the stretch of this season. So looking at the next stretch for you guys, what is the message to the team?
The message from us as a coaching staff is kind of the same as it has been to this point in the season. I mean, we got to concentrate on, you know, who we are and who we want to be. And that's every day in practice. It starts on the defensive end. You know, it's at times it's been a struggle for us to score offensively this year. So if we allow a team to get up into the mid to high 50s, 60s or above, I mean, it's going to be difficult, right? So just doing what we can on the defensive end to at least make it tough, limit teams to one shot as best we can, and then try to play together offensively. And like you said, a lot of good opponents left on our schedule, whether conference, non-conference, whatever, and we're headed and geared up for at the end of February, beginning of March, of another tough sectional just like it was last year. Again, I don't look at records so much with all that stuff, because you're talking about a lot of conference and close opponents who all play each other in the regular season. So the familiarity of all of us of, you know, we know these teams, they know us, they know our strengths, they know our weaknesses. So again, hopefully our goal is just to put ourselves in a chance to continue to improve these next couple weeks and see where we're at as we progress to the end of the year.
Well, Coach, thank you again for joining us this morning on Inside the Huddle, and congratulations once again on the victory, and safe travels tonight at, I believe, Southwood. Is that what or not Southwood tonight? At Pioneer tonight. Yeah.
Yep.
You mentioned Southwood a couple of times, so it was stuck in my brain right there. So,
yep.
So best of luck on the remaining games you've got this weekend.
Okay. Thank you, guys, and we appreciate your coverage.
That's head coach Adam Tussinger with Carroll Boys Basketball. We'll take a short break. Be right back on quarter number two of Inside the Huddle. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Winsky Brothers.
Jim here from Winsky Brothers with the top reasons you should be using our services.
Energy savings.
That's right. There's a 95% savings from recycling aluminum versus mining, and a 60% savings recycling steel.
Hauling and waste removal.
Winsky's offers industrial hauling and waste removal and provides roll-off service.
Customer service.
At Winsky Brothers, our customer service is outstanding. We'll have you on your way in no time.
More money in your pocket.
Every dollar counts these days, so come see us at Winsky Brothers, 751 West Washington Street in Frankfurt. Check us out at WinskyBrothers.com or on Facebook.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Are you running a business and want to get more customers? Hi, I'm Don, your small business marketing expert. If you want to increase sales, you've got to get your message out. But which media should you consider? About 29% say they read a newspaper every day. 69% say they use Facebook. And 71% of the population watches TV. But did you know that radio reaches about 88% of the population, and the average listener spends about 12 hours a week with radio? Also, radio has grown. From on-air, online, on-demand, from laptops, tablets, smartphones, and smart speakers, radio is everywhere. Radio also dominates in the car. So if you want to make every marketing dollar count, consider radio. It's affordable, it's effective, and it's everywhere.
Hi, I'm Russ Casper with Casper Media. Promote your business with WILO, Boone 102.7, Clinton, Carroll, and Boone County Daily News. We love big deals and Hoosierland TV. Call me, Russ Casper, or station manager Cindy Lovelace, and we'll show you how we can help you build your business. Call 765-659-3338 or go to yeswelovelocal.com.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
Here's Saturday forecast. Breezy with scattered flurries this morning. Otherwise, this afternoon becoming sunny and a high of 23. Tonight, cloudy and cold with a low of 10 and a wind chill of negative 2. Sunday, partly sunny and breezy with a high of 22. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. Real-time weather radar 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County DailyNews.com.
Back on Inside the Huddle, quarter number 2 of Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Winsky Brothers. Joined now on quarter number 2 by Clinton Prairie girls basketball coach Cale Morris after their loss last night against Carroll 54-34. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
We are doing all right. Coach, let's talk about the last night's game. It was a close game in the first half. You guys were able to hang around with some good three-point shooting, but in the third and fourth quarters, Carroll's defense kind of started to do what they wanted to do, and they were able to run away with that game late. What did you see from your squad last night?
Honestly, it's just Carroll set the tone with some physicality, and we just didn't respond very well to it. I mean, you know, we've seen every single type of press that they were ready to throw at us, and it's whether or not you execute and you match that physicality, and we just didn't. You know, so it's kind of just shutting down and backing off from the challenge, which was, you know, disappointing to see. But, you know, that's part of the game. Some days it's going to be your night, some days it isn't. And with some young kids, you know, being able to match some of that physicality, especially against an older group, it's not always the easiest task. So, you know, we're here this morning. We're working on the things that we struggled with last night, and we're making sure that we're prepped and ready to finish out the season strong.
And we talked earlier in the season, I think it was after the Rossville game, Emmy Kaser had a great game, hit a bunch of threes, and you said, well, now teams know about her, and they're going to start guarding her differently, and they did. Last night, they put Olivia Schroeder on her, their best perimeter defender, and made her work for everything, and she was still able to finish in double figures, but when she's kind of have to work hard for her points, it slows down the offense a little bit. What did you see on the offensive end from her?
I mean, well, they came out as expected. They started in a box and one that we'd seen them do recently, and we did a great job of attacking that, kind of opening up. And then the minute they wanted to kind of ramp up the pressure, you know, it's whether or not some other girls are willing to step up to the challenge and, you know, be that next open threat, to be knocking down shots, to get to the rim, you know, get to the free throw line. And we had those opportunities. We just didn't really take everything that they were giving us, you know. So we were a little timid against the press. We had some girls getting foul trouble, and it put us in some awkward spots of, you know, positions some girls aren't necessarily used to. And, you know, that really hurt us, especially in the third quarter when we had multiple girls with foul trouble. But, you know, Emmy's done a great job of kind of broadening her game, you know, trying to find a way to get to the rim a little bit more, you know, use the paint more. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a team effort. And if we only have one girl that's showing up offensively, we are going to struggle. So, you know, against North White, we had three girls that got into double figures and they were playing well as a group, you know, and it led to a win. So it's just finding a way to get to that more consistently and being more physical for the entire game and not just a quarter or two.
And I want to talk a little bit about that game. Your big W for you guys, 44-41 over North White, a team that you saw earlier in your holiday tournament, and that was able to best you guys 35-26 back in early January, and you're able to come back and beat them. What adjustments did you see from your team in that North White game where you were able to kind of flip the script?
Well, initially, the first half, we didn't really see any of the adjustments we were trying to make. I mean, it was probably our worst half we'd played all year. You know, we were down 24-13. But, you know, we found a way to just ramp up that intensity, ramp up the physicality, and we started to get some offensive rebounds. We started to get some open shots that we weren't developing in the first half just because of us, you know, kind of getting into that attitude of we got to get this done. And, you know, the hard work on defense turns into open shots on offense and turns into big plays, whether it's taking a charge, getting an and-one at the rim. And, you know, I truly believe our defense bleeds into that. So when we started holding North White defensively, I mean, they only got 5 points in the fourth quarter. So, you know, we started doing the things the way I expect them to be able to do an entire game. We just haven't been able to string it together. And, you know, part of that is maturity. Part of that's understanding the speed of the game. And, you know, it is a growing process. I mean, not many teams are playing five freshmen every single night with, you know, a couple sophomores and one senior to go with it. So, you know, the fact that we have been competitive in a lot of games, we've been able to battle out that win against an experienced North White team, just shows the progress we have, you know. And, the, you know, the record does not reflect the progress that these girls have made. You know, it's a tough schedule this year. There's a lot of experience in our area, but we're only going to be better for it, and I truly believe that. And I think the rest of our schedule going forward is a chance for us to string some things.
Talking with Coach Cale Morris of the Clinton Prairie Lady Gophers basketball team in this second quarter. Coach, you talked about looking forward a little bit. Next game for you, January 20th at Case Arena against the Hot Dogs. Do I need to add any adjectives or any nouns to this, or what are we looking at for this epic showdown in the big arena in just a couple of days' time?
It's just fixing what broke down the last game and showing up with some intensity. You know, I think our kids have done a good job to where, you know, I just, every single time we have a game, I just tell them, like, yeah, I don't like this school. And I think they've finally gotten the picture that I don't like any school we play. You know, I have a lot of respect for the other programs, but from past rivalries and just playing the game now, it's like, I mean, I'm never going to walk into another gym and be like, oh, yeah, I like this team. You know, so have an attitude every time you walk in the gym, have some swagger to your step when you're taking the court for the first time, and, you know, be ready to go and set the tone. And that's an attitude that if we can build that at this age and with as young of a group as we have, you know, you head into next year and the year after, we're not going to have a whole lot of turnover on our roster. You know, we're going to have some pretty strong consistency over the next 2 and 3 years. So being able to establish that mindset now and have it carry over game to game and understand that the biggest game you play is the one that's right in front of you is going to be a big step for these girls.
That reminds me of the New York Knicks from the 90s. It's like, don't pick anybody up. You know, I hate this team. Everybody other than us is the enemy, things like that. I've got to ask you about this, Coach. Chad Gahabe once said that I wanted to steal the other team's lunch money before they even got off the bus during home games. Would you say that is an accurate descriptor of you? Or given all of the technology that we've got right now, are you thinking like more wire transfers and stealing their lunch money? You know, kind of respond to that just because it's refreshing to have that kind of negative attitude toward another team instead of being everybody's best friend in this day and age like the youngins do, it seems.
Yeah, no, I mean, it rings true. But the big thing for me is, like, you know, I have to, when we're talking over other teams' players and stuff, you have to give the other team's players more respect than what maybe as a coach you think they're at. You know, like, obviously there's levels to players, and you got to say, like, hey, this girl's a shooter, or you got to hype them up and be like, hey, she shouldn't even be able to catch and shoot a three at all in this game, right? Because you got to give the girls a mindset that, like, hey, this is going to be a battle. You got to make sure that this is happening all game, to where when they walk in and they realize, hey, maybe it's going to be tougher than what coach said, or maybe it's going to be easier than what he said. So just promoting each team like they're the best team that they're going to see all year, so they understand, like, hey, we got to show up with the right mindset. But yeah, I mean, I'm never going to like anyone we play. I'm going to have coaches I'm friends with. I'm going to have coaches that I respect, and I love the way they run their programs. But I'm never going to walk into a gym and be like, yeah, I like them. Right? Maybe after the game.
The Power of Negative Thinking by Bob Knight was a wonderful book that I read many, many years ago as well. So Coach, if you haven't read it, I definitely suggest you read it. And Sam, you ought to read it too,
because
it's not exactly what you think as far as negative thinking, but it kind of goes along those lines.
There
it's
we
a
go.
Good book.
Well, one player that you guys had to defend last night was Jillian Saltz, and she's a really unique player in the conference, and her height and her length are able to help her out. Offensive rebounds, getting inside the post, and it seems like every time she got in the paint, she was able to get something to go because she's just got more height than everyone that you had. So what was the message to your team defensively when you're looking at a player with a specific skill set? How do you talk to your team about defending that?
Well, the problem is everything we kind of talked about kind of went out the window. this was truly a maturity thing for us, because when we initially went into this game, it was, hey, this team isn't that great from the three-point line. Right, bottle up the paint, make them hit a couple outside shots before we start taking that extra step. And the problem is the maturity kicked in to when, you know, we were making a few mistakes, whether it was a turnover or we gave up too quick of a drive, or we gave up something in transition. That mindset turned into, we got a little bit of selfish thoughts going through our head to where it was no longer, how do I get back and help my team? It was, let's just make sure my girl doesn't score. And that was not the approach we needed last night. We needed to have a foot in the paint, if not 2 feet in the paint, ready to help on the block, because they did not hit an outside shot last night. Every single green circle on that shot chart was 3 feet from the rim or at the free throw line. So just understanding that your past mistake can't determine what you're going to do on the next play, and you can't shut down. You got to be there for your teammates. And that is a tough thing for some young kids to overcome. You know, when it's a senior that's been there for 3 years and they understand that and it's easier to transition to, it's one thing. But when you got 14-year-olds, it's definitely a different message to get across. So I think they've progressed on that aspect, but it's definitely not easy, especially with a louder gym and a bigger crowd last night. You know, it's easier to get down on yourself when people are chirping at you and things aren't going your way.
What do these type of games and really the games that you've played over the last couple of weeks, a lot of close, tough games for you guys, what do these type of games do for the development of your team and the development of your program moving forward, playing in tough games, playing in close games, and a lot of these young girls learning what it takes to come out on top in these games?
I think it's the best learning you can have, because it truly shows when you have a close game against a team that, you know, some people may not think you deserve to be there with, it shows whatever effort you gave in that game, how hard you played, it's not quite enough, right? So there's always more in the tank. We always have more ability. You know, we can play a little bit harder. We can get that extra 50-50 ball, you know, and they see it on film. They see themselves take a play off or take two plays off or not fight for a rebound. Right, and those little things slowly start to add up in those close games. And when you're kind of at a disadvantage to start, when you're going against a bunch of experience or you're going against older kids, right, you can't lose those battles, because it's going to bite you at the end of the game. So, you know, learning that these close games are, you know, one or two rebounds away, right, or sliding over and stopping one drive, I think it's really helping us understand that we have another gear we can kick it to. And I'm just hoping we get there by the time sectionals rolls around, because I really do believe we're just an ounce away, right? And the minute we can get that clicking, we're going to be a pretty good team.
Well, sectional draw coming up in just 8 days, and we've talked a lot about your guys' sectional 54, a lot of tough teams in that sectional with Rossville and Carroll and Clinton Central, Frontier, Bethesda Christian. So as you look at that sectional, obviously some four more games left on the regular season schedule before you get to that sectional. But what is the process of getting ready for sectional play?
Well, one, again, just taking each game step by step. So I really do think, you know, you got Frankfort and Eastern coming up this week. I think it's two games that are very winnable for us. You know, especially with the way I saw us play against Wevo and North White, we definitely have in the tank. We definitely have the ability to win these games by a pretty good margin. So we just got to be willing to do that. And then we follow that up with Frontier and Taylor the following week. So I truly believe we go on a little four win streak to close out the year. And then, you know, you never know what happens in sectionals, right? That's the beauty of it, is your season kind of resets. That draw could be favorable, it could be not favorable.
But, you know, everyone's going to be playing at a gym we're not really used to down at Bethesda. So it's like I really want to see Rossville again. You know, the way we played them in the beginning of the year, I think we're a better team now. And I would love to see that challenge, right? But, you know, you got Clinton Central, who's tough, who we were, you know, we missed 12 free throws that game. We ended up losing by 8, I think, but we fouled a couple at the end. So that game was closer than what the scoreboard shows. You know, Carroll, we obviously just didn't match that physicality, so we can make some adjustments and be ready for that one. And same thing with Rossville. Just, you know, fix the things that didn't go well the first time, improve on the things we need to improve on, and just see what happens.
Well, this has been fun to talk with you, and we look forward to joining with you again later on before sectionals. Clinton Prairie girls basketball coach Cale Morris. Coach, good luck the rest of the week with your games at Frankfort and at Eastern, and hope you can finish out the season strong. We look forward to covering you guys in that sectional.
Yep, appreciate it.
Clinton Prairie girls basketball coach Cale Morris. We'll head on to quarter number 3 of Inside the Huddle. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street, or online at winskybrothers.com.
Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, right after Party Line, WILO and Boone 102.7 bring you a moment of pure positivity. It's the pet of the day. In partnership with the Clinton County Humane Society, we shine the spotlight on adoptable dogs and cats just waiting to meet their new best friend. Maybe that's you. You'll hear their names, their stories, and what makes each one special. Whether they're playful pups, curious kittens, or wise old souls, these shelter residents are ready for a forever home. So tune in, fall in love, and help spread the word. Because sometimes, the right tail wag or gentle purr is just a broadcast away. That's Pet of the Day, every Tuesday and Thursday, only on WILO and Boone 102.7, where every animal has their moment to shine. Brought to you by Wampler Services Incorporated, Travelers Point Distillery, and Blue Fox Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Proud supporter of Second Chances and Furry Friends.
Back for quarter number 3 of Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Winsky Brothers. Want to thank them. Couldn't be here every Saturday morning talking local sports without them, so make sure you give them a shout-out. Thank them for their sponsorship of local youth sports. Sam Wirt alongside Kyle Etherington. We caught up with Adam Tussinger after his team's big win last night over Clinton Prairie in a game-winning shot late in the game by Carson Schuler. We also just talked with Clinton Prairie girls basketball coach Cale Morris as they look to finish out the season strong ahead of sectionals. If you missed any part of today's show, you want to go back and listen to it again, you can do that on Spotify at Inside the Huddle and Casper Media. You can find us online at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Click on the sports tab and then scroll down, click on Inside the Huddle. You'll find the recent episodes all archived on there. You can also find us streaming live on HoosierLandTV.com. If you want to watch us here in studio having a grand old time on this Saturday morning, you can do that as well. So plenty of ways to interact with the show. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Let's recap a little bit of scores from last night. We also want to talk about some girls wrestling state finals. Mimi Nicholas finishes as the state runner-up for the second year in a row. A fantastic season for Mimi Nicholas, and she continues to prove that she is one of the top wrestlers in the state.
Yeah, absolutely. She got a wonderful send-off at Rossville High School on Thursday. walking through every, pardon me, sorry. Sorry about that. You have kids that you want to cheer for, and you have kids that you want to support, and Mimi is definitely one of those kids. She got a great send-off at Rossville High School with her coaches, and just has really put in the work all year long, and at the 120-pound division, one of the state's top wrestlers, and even though the goal of the state championship was not met in terms of winning it all, it definitely will be right in that wheelhouse, that thought process, as guaranteed she's already thinking and working on how to get back there once again. So 2 years in a row going to the state championships, that's a pretty solid honor for anybody, let alone a sophomore.
Yeah, able to win her several of her opening matchups by pins or technical falls, and then a major decision in the semifinal, and then fell 13-8. It was close in that championship match against Whiteland Community's Michaela Perkins. So how about that? Both of the sophomores in the state championship for the 120 weight class, and congratulations to Mimi Nicholas. Just a fantastic season. We want to congratulate her. We will have her on the show next week along with our coach Stephen Back. So make sure you tune in next Saturday to hear from her and on her fantastic season. And I know she would have loved to hoist up that state championship trophy, but she's got a couple more years, and she's only going to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. And Stephen Back has just worked tirelessly with her, and Spencer Connor has also been a huge asset to the girls wrestling program over there. You could see both of them trying to hide the amount of pride that they had, because, you know, you want to get into that mental zone, if you will, but you could definitely see them on the broadcast and in person if you had an opportunity to watch the state championships down at the Coliseum. You definitely got to see their excitement and how much pride they've got in Mimi this year. So it was wonderful to see.
Was indeed. Let's talk a little scores from last night. Boys and girls basketball. We'll catch you up on where the standings sit as we head into, for girls, the final couple of weeks of the regular season, and for boys, the last couple of months and the final stretch in this kind of second half of the season. We'll start with the boys as an update on the Hoosier Heartland Conference standings. Sheridan sits in first at 5-0, Taylor in second at 3-1, Carroll is in third at 2-1, and then Rossville and fourth with a 3-2 conference record. Last night, mentioned Carroll getting the win over Clinton Prairie 42-40. Eastern over Delphi 63-55. Lebanon took down Sheridan 61-54 in a non-conference matchup. How about Rossville? 103-67 over Tri-Central. Triple digits for the Hornets.
Free chalupas is what we always said, or tacos or something in the Ville, I'm sure. But yeah, just an outstanding offensive performance. Corey Dunn going against his alma mater and the Tri-Central Trojans that made the trek up to the Hive last night, and total team effort. And on top of that, it was Cancer Awareness Night at Rossville. That's probably why on the telecast I got that confused with mental health awareness and everything like that, because I saw all the pink shirts during the school day. They raised over $700 as well. So big check, big shout out to everybody at Rossville and Tri-Central for donating that money. But yeah, triple digits for the Hornets, and it might not be the last time that they do that, because if that offense keeps clicking the way we've seen it happen to click, they could put points on the board in a hurry.
Yeah, five players finish in double figures for the Hornets, led by Braden Tillihan with 33. Cooper Dunn stepping up with 16 points. We talked about, you know, what Aiden Schomburg has brought to this team, Andrew Woolen, and how about Lane Edmonds off the bench scoring in double figures with 10 as the Hornets get it done 103-67. A couple more scores from around the area. Taylor took down Clinton Central 70-46, and then several matchups tonight across the Hoosier Heartland. We go to the girls' side and take a look at the girls' standings ahead of the final stretch. Rossville 7-0, and that game next week against Clinton Central becomes the conference championship game, because Clinton Central, the only other team with one in the loss column, and it's the last conference game for Rossville. So if Clinton Central wins that game and can win out their conference schedule, they would get the conference championship because of the head-to-head victory. If Rossville wins, they would finish unbeaten in Hoosier Heartland Conference play, and they would take home the conference crown ahead of sectionals. So a big game next week, next Friday on Hoosierland TV, Clinton Central versus Rossville. Kyle will be on the call with that one. Should be a good one. Some scores from last night. Clinton Central beat Taylor 59-15. We mentioned Carroll over Clinton Prairie 54-34, and Rossville taking down Tri-Central 64-26. And that was a Tri-Central team that is 10-8 on the season going into that game, was 3-2 in conference play, and Rossville handled them with ease.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times, at least in my aspect with certain teams, sometimes you can get the best of them, sometimes you can get the worst of them, and sometimes you kind of give them the best and worst of yourself sometimes too. So it's a fun thing, Indiana high school sports, especially Indiana high school basketball, just because you're not really quite sure exactly what is going to turn out. But Mallory O'Brien last night, 20 points. And then you also had Ava Burkle in double figures and Addie Gorbett in double figures last night. So the three-headed monster for Rossville still chucking along. But as you said, you know, they got one more big hurdle to climb, and they got to go to the dog pound, if you will, at Clinton Central. That's going to be a fun boy-girl doubleheader on Hoosierland TV.
It will indeed, as we look at the sectional 54. Again, the sectional draw coming up next Sunday. We'll do a lot more on the sectional next Saturday on Inside the Huddle before the sectional draw. But right now, Rossville, Carroll, Clinton Central, Frontier, Bethesda Christian, and Clinton Prairie. Rossville is the only team that hasn't lost a game against a sectional opponent. They're 3-0 against those teams. Carroll 3-1, and Clinton Central 2-1. But again, several more of those matchups coming up in the final stretch of the season. We're going to take another short break. When we come back, we're going to preview the College Football National Championship, Indiana, Miami, coming up on Monday. We'll be right back on Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities and Winsky Brothers.
Your home for classic hits, AM 1570, 96.9, and Boom 102.7 FM, WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
News. I'm Paul Stevens. Gunmen on the loose after killing one person and injuring three others at the historic Dookie Chase restaurant Friday night in New Orleans. The deceased victim was apparently the target of the shooting and ran into the restaurant for safety.
The perpetrator continued to shoot, so innocent bystanders who are patrons were actually hit, but they were in no way targets, nor was this restaurant.
New Orleans Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick, judge in Minnesota, meantime, banning the use of chemical irritants against peaceful anti-ICE protesters. Many Democrats still push back on the White House immigration policy.
This is not routine enforcement. This is not about public safety. This is not even about immigration. This is about political retribution.
Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar at a field hearing. America's listening to Fox News.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers inviting you to check out our 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
At Healthy Communities of Clinton County, we are dedicated to reducing the risk factors that lead to chronic disease. At Healthy Communities, we offer general health programs like insurance navigation, healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco and vaping cessation. We help pregnant women to ensure healthy birth outcomes. We have a variety of recovery services at our Trinity Hope Center, including peer recovery coaching, support groups, and pro-social activities. To learn more on how we can help you make the healthy choice the easy choice, call 765-659-6063 or visit healthyclintoncounty.org.
Back on Inside the Huddle, Sam Word and Kyle Etherington, quarter number four. We talked with Adam Tussinger, the boys basketball coach over at Carroll after their win last night. We talked with Kale Morris, the Clinton Prairie girls basketball coach. Just recap some scores from around the area and talked about Mimi Nicholas and her season coming to an end as the runner-up in the 120 weight class in girls wrestling state finals yesterday. Now it's time to do what Kyle's been waiting for all morning.
No, not at all.
Talk a little bit about the college football national championship coming up on Monday. Indiana and Miami. Indiana looking to go undefeated, 16-0, and win the national championship. They could be the first team to do that with this new 12-team format. So as we look at this game, what are the things that stand out for you?
Well, I think it's interesting as far as just the level of excitement that has been around this season for Hoosier fans, considering that I can vividly remember 20 years ago how the North and the South stands weren't even there, and there were hills that little kids would bring cardboard to the game and they would slide down the hill. Then they created a kids' play park in the South end zone, and there was more lively entertainment in that area of the field than it was on the actual main part of the field. You talk about going to an Indiana State game where the stands aren't even a quarter full, and half of those people leave before halftime to go out to the tailgate because it's more entertaining. And you have people calling in to radio shows after the game saying, what can we do? What can we do? And then it's just like magic. NIL occurs. Kurt Cignetti comes to Bloomington. You know, you've got over 800,000 strong alumni, which I'm proud to be a part of. You know, it's like a big, you know, bison army donating money, giving money, and really building things up, because this is something that this fan base has hungered for a long, long time.
You look at the roster construction for Indiana. A lot of people talk about, it's called blue chip ratio, the amount of 4 and 5 stars on your roster, and it's not that high for Indiana. It's a lot of 3-star guys. It's a lot of underlooked guys that have just played to their full potential in this system with Kurt Cignetti. And I think the theme of this playoff, as we've seen it unfold this season, has been physicality. And it's only right that the two most physical teams are the two teams fighting for a national championship. So let's look a little bit at the game and at the players that we're going to see. Of course, Indiana, the Heisman winner in Fernando Mendoza at quarterback.
Fernando.
But what I've really been impressed with is the offensive weapons around him. You look at Omar Cooper and Elijah Surratt, and then Charlie Becker with some of the most fantastic
Charlie
catches that you've seen all season. That one in the last game against Oregon, able to make a fantastic catch on that Fernando Mendoza touchdown. But then on the other side for Miami, it starts on the defensive end for Miami, and that defensive edge, Reuben Bain and Akeem Mezador, two names that fans of Indiana need to know.
Yes.
Two studs on the defensive line. They can pressure the quarterback. They're both probably going to go in the top 50 picks in the NFL draft. So as you look at this game from a fan's perspective, what do you think the keys are for Indiana to come out with a national championship on Monday?
As a Colts fan, I love saying this in a little bit of a different way, considering we're on the radio. Run the dang ball. I can see IU doing a lot of good things with the run. And really, if you take a look at the overall amount of plays that IU has put into fruition this year, that you would think they're a run-first team, and they run the ball a lot more than they pass it. Now, that being said, Fernando Mendoza, when he throws the ball to Charlie, my guy in the Rose Bowl, he's going to the end zone with it. He's taking it to the house. So I think there's a little bit of a stat issue with that, but overall, I can see Indiana coming out very strong, running the ball especially. I think that's going to be the big key.
And Miami is a team that does not like to substitute on the defensive line. If you watch them this season, they want their studs out there as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So if you can establish the run game and force them to be on the field for 8, 9, 10 minutes at a time on long drives, that's going to really slow down that pass rush and allow Fernando Mendoza to have time to throw the ball downfield.
Khalil Black, among others, that running attack is just steady for IU. And, you know, that it's like Coach Finley always said, run people over. And that's exactly what they have done the last 2 weeks, and they've been doing that the entire season.
On the offensive end for the Hurricanes, former Georgia quarterback Carson Beck, he's been in a lot of these big games. He came up big against Ole Miss with that rushing touchdown on their last drive. And maybe the best freshman in the country in wide receiver Malachi Toney, he can pass. He's done some things out of the Wildcat this year, taking snaps. He's fantastic after the catch, fantastic getting downfield. So he's going to be a name to watch. D'Angelo Pons is going to have his the night full trying to trying to cover Malachi Toney in his passing attack. Been really impressed with Miami's ability to run the ball as of late. Their running game has really improved, I think, especially in this playoff with Mark Fletcher Jr., their running back. So they're going to have try to do the same thing and try to hold the ball for as long as possible, make sure the Heisman Trophy winner and Fernando Mendoza does not possess the ball for as much time as they can in this game. I think it's going to be a physical game, and it comes down to which team can own the trenches, the offensive line, the defensive line. That's going to kind of decide the winner. Let's make our picks, score prediction as well.
Oh, you're doing that one on so, me, too. My goodness.
I will start to give you some time to think of your score prediction. I am going to go with the Hoosiers. I'm going to take them 24-20.
24-20.
Over Miami. I think it's going to be a closer game than people think.
Okay. Fernando Mendoza and D'Angelo Pons played against each other in high school. Fernando Mendoza grew up maybe a stone's throw away from the University of Miami, not even offered anything from the University of Miami. And then you have D'Angelo Pons. You talk about, you know, the zero stars and the one stars. He's got a pond named after him in Bloomington right now. They most recently named a little pond in between two streets, D'Angelo's Pond, as well. He's also from the Miami area. So there is a little extra incentive from those two guys on top of Coach Kurt Cignatti, as he shall henceforth be known after this season. A fantastic season for the Hoosiers. A fantastic couple of weeks for me personally. And I'm not just saying that because they gave me free pizza when we were standing out in the cold in below sub-zero temperatures just trying to get a rally towel after I drove 100 miles to Bloomington for my sixth trip in the last 2 weeks down there to get more free stuff. I'm going with my Hoosiers once again, as always. I know it's shocking, Sam.
Very.
And similar to what I said with Oregon, Hoosiers by 10.
All right. All right. There we go. Hoosiers by 10.
And the mere fact that they are even in a national championship game is something that I never even thought was possible other than a video game. So every single person who's a Hoosier fan down in South Beach right now, be loud, be proud, and hold on to your wallets, man, because them tickets are expensive. My gosh, expensive.
Are indeed. So that'll do it for this edition of Inside the Huddle. We'll join you next week on Inside the Huddle, so make sure to tune in for that one. We appreciate all of you guys tuning in. If you missed any part of today's show, plenty of ways to watch it or listen to it again. Spotify, Hoosierland TV, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Plenty of ways to interact with the show. Give us a follow on Hoosierland TV on X, Hoosierland_TV. And check out that play of the game last night, Carson Schuler, the game-winning shot over Clinton Prairie with as Kyle's patented corner three.
Oh, That one is from Family Guy, man. That's all Family Guy. I got to give that to Seth MacFarlane. But I'm telling you, Sam, I was barely conscious after the game last night. If what happens on Monday, like you predict, will happen, I'm going to need a month off at least. And that's just going to be checking on my vitals, because if that happens, holy cow, I'm going to have to live with you, because I will have bought way too many shirts and way too much memorabilia. So, you know,
there you go.
I want them to win, but man, I might be moving in too. Gonna be losing
all right,
my third mortgage on the house.
I'll get the couch ready for you.
Hey, that's perfect.
That'll
I love
do it,
it
for this edition of Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Healthy Communities of Clinton County and Winsky Brothers. For Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt, saying so long, everybody.